A little piece now from our wonderful Farming Week with Daisha today, brought to you by IFAC. And Kieran has been out and about, as you know, across various farms. Lots of different topics, great interviews. Today, we're featuring Waterford Sheep Discussion Group. Kieran visits Shane Whelan in the beautiful Nyre Valley and talks to him and Chagosk advisor Katrina Foley following their recent win at the FBD Better Farming Awards.
WLR's My Farming Week, a Daisha Today special on some of Ireland's best farms.
Thanks to IFAC, your local food and agribusiness accountants. See ifac.ie.
Well, this morning, Damien, we're out in the beautiful Nyre Valley. We're out to visit a well-known sheep farmer, Shane Whelan, and we're delighted to be in his beautiful cottage here out in the Nyre Valley, the picturesque Nyre Valley, also being joined by Katrina Foley, of course, the Chagosk sheep advisor. First of all, Shane, thanks for having us here.
No matter, you're welcome out here to Carrageen and Knockanarfon.
Shane, generations of the Whelans have been involved and you're keeping up a great tradition. You're here in your uncle's farm.
Yeah, there's four generations at least, I mean, of any, if not more, probably, out here, yeah.
And you're part of this discussion group. We'll talk to Katrina about, of course, you won an award last year, but the discussion group is such a huge part because it's such a specific type of farming that the knowledge transfer from within the group is crucial.
Oh, it is, yeah. Like, we have a meeting maybe once a month or so, and we have a... We'd go maybe on a tour once or twice in a year and have a Christmas party and all the usual things, you know. But yeah, it's just good just to get out and meet up and get various ideas off each other and all that. Like,
sheep farming, at what stage did you realise that this is what you wanted to do for your life? Growing up, did Shane Whelan always want to get involved in sheep farming?
Yeah, or be a professional soccer player, but that wasn't working for me.
Right, yeah.
So it's a sheep. Yeah, I was to be here like as a youngster with the uncle every weekend and even sometimes after school and that, so I just sort of fell into it that way. Yeah.
Now, I mentioned part of the discussion group, of course. They're the recent winners of the FPD Better Farming Awards and coordinator of the discussion group, of course, Katrina Foley. First of all, Katrina, isn't there something special out here in the Nyre Valley? As you say, picture postcard.
Yeah, there's something about the mountains. No matter where you are in the county, when you're looking at the mountains, they draw you in. They, like, you always kind of want to be at the mountains, and then when you get to the bottom of them, you nearly want to be on top of it. Something that just pulls you in.
Now, your discussion group, as I said earlier, you won an award last year, but you might give the background to the discussion group. We're here on Shane's farm, and he's part of the Waterford Hill Sheep discussion group.
So the discussion group itself is going since 1999. It was formed by Chagosk advisor Paddy O'Brien for the production of the Light Hill lamb, and it has evolved into what it is today, where we are still talking about production of sheep, but we're also incorporating in the hill issues and environmental issues as well on the farms. We made an application for an EIP project back in 2020.
And you might explain the EIP, yeah?
Yeah, European Innovation Project, where it's European funded projects for small environmental projects, and we were lucky enough to get one. Ours was an education-based model, all based on education of the uplands, and it explored, we'll say, doing by seeing, and we'll say bottom-up approach designed by the farmers within the group rather than the top-down, which is normally what happens in department schemes.
How many farmers are involved in the group and what area? I was strictly talking literally the Cumra Mountain area.
Just the Cumra Mountain area. There was 14 farmers involved in the EIP and there was 10 uplands in it. Four of them are privately owned and six were commonages. Yeah.
Farming up here is so different to any other farming, but as you said, the knowledge, and indeed I know Owen Carton was your project manager, but the experience that you gained for everyone involved, and speaking to the, I did several interviews with you over the last number of years, what you're dealing with here is extra special.
Yeah, it is. You can say that upland farming is different, I suppose, to lowland farming. But even within the upland farming, the 14 members of the group, they all do things so differently. There's a massive linkage between how much you can produce and what you can actually do on your lowland. I suppose the lowland really is the limiting factor, because you can't have the sheep on the mountain all the time. It can only produce so much for them. So if you're not able to use your lowland for your sheep as well, it limits on what you can do.
And of course, lambing springtime is crucial to have that lowland.
Yeah, it is massive. You know, early spring grass, and you're out here and you just don't have early spring grass. Yeah. It is, you know, colder temperatures, we're up high, and it varies for all the members in the group the way they do things. Some farmers would have a target of 0.7, 0.8 lambs per yo. Others could be up at 1.6. And then generally in the middle for Shane, he's in around the 1.1 lambs per yo.
Shane, turning to you, getting involved into sheep farming. Katrina mentioned lowland. That's very important. As we look out here from the cottage here, we can see some lowland sheep still, some sheep still here in the lowland. It's very important to have that.
Oh, it is, yeah. Like, you know, you will have a lot more loss if you're to lamb them on the mount, and you just wouldn't see the problems. So we bring them down, say, for lambing the 20th of April for dinner finish. Okay. We'll put them back up maybe mid-May to start of June, and just keep down in maybe any slacker lambs or twins, and the rest go up.
Obviously, nutrition, and we'll talk later on about what's special out here, the flora and the fauna and that, but obviously feed and keeping costs down is so important.
Yeah, it is, yeah, especially now the way the prices of everything are. I do a small bit of silage, you're not in too hectic, they don't get fed on the mountain really, just they leave off 20, 30 bales of silage is the max they get in the year. Say the twins, ones that twins will be given nut, will be fed meal 6 weeks before lambing. That's about the feeding they get. All lambs are sold to stores that look to lambs.
As regards breeds out here, yeah, have they changed a lot over the years, and are you staying specific with one or two breeds, or what's your rule as regards breeds here on the Wheeling farm?
It's all Scotch Blackface. We've all that have been here before me, and we're still on them. We had some Texas for time, but I hadn't enough of grassland to keep them in the whole time. So, yeah, just all Scotch Blackface at the minute, with some Lanark, actually.
Starting out and getting involved, working hand in hand with your uncle, I'm sure you learned a lot of traditions from him.
Yeah. When I was young, we lived here first, and then we built a house back away in Glenanore, and we went back there then. The uncle was here with the grandmother, and she died in 1990 then, so he was here on his own. But yeah, I'd be over every weekend with him doing jobs. He was an easy man to work for. He'd never give out. Yeah, easy going man. but yeah, like...
You're very conscious. You're keeping up some family tradition.
Yeah, I am. But like, there's no other type of farm you could do out in this area either, like, you know. Right. But actually, it's changed massively in the last, I would say, 10, 15 years. Like, all my mountain is SAC, so I'm completely restricted in, you know, just not, I can't reclaim any of that or do any of that. And obviously I've reclaimed some grassland down here, but that could be reused and future never know.
Katrina mentioned there about the Environment Innovation Award and Owen Carton, who was the project manager.
Yeah.
That was a great learning experience for all of you. And how beneficial did you find it, being involved in that award-winning group?
Yeah, very good. Owen's a very likeable man, like his. He's a good man to talk, I'll tell you that. Anyway. he put an hour or two onto every meeting with his chat. But yeah, no, he's good. It was a good meeting. It was a good group. Like, we learnt a lot. I suppose the main thing we learnt, I suppose, is what we're walking every day in the mountain, all the fun that we didn't know half the things. Knowledgeable on that, I would think now. I'd like to think we were anyway.
Well, Shane, you're keeping up great tradition. We're going to take a break, but don't go away. We'll be back here on Shane Whelan's farm in the Nar Valley with his Chagas advisor, Katrina Foley.
This is the Imro award-winning Dacia Today. Dacia Today.
WLR. Munster rugby star Jack O'Donoghue is the May winner of the WLR Granville Waterford Sports Award. The former water park back row played a crucial part in Munster's end-of-season URC Challenge, delivering big performances against Connacht, Edinburgh, Ulster and the South African Lions.
It's special always when you get recognised from your home county, and, you know, because I'm based in Limerick, you know, I don't see all too much, but, you know, to see that I'm still being recognised there is special. I'm incredibly privileged, I'm incredibly honoured to have the opportunity to play for Munster, but then to play over 200 times, crazy.
The WLR Granville Sports Awards, recognising Waterford's best sporting talent.
It's an extraordinary thing, design. Just when you think you've seen perfection in the Peugeot 3008, along comes the all-new 3008, an electric and hybrid, a next-level SUV with a sleek, alluring new shape. And an all-new panoramic eye cockpit with a floating 21-inch HD display that puts control at your fingertips. Test drive the all-new Peugeot 3008 today. It's pleasure powered.
Call to T&C Motors Peugeot Inner Ring Road Waterford and test drive today.
This summer at Boots, we're with you for hay fever relief to take on that hype, as well as foot care to take care of yourself afterwards. With buy one, get the second half price on health solutions, we're with you for saving summer. Boots, with you for life. Selected stores, products and boots.ie. Excludes medicines. Cheapest product half price. Offer ends 10th September.
The moment you got told the good news.
Rob, you made the panel.
When the lads added you into the group. Skipping nights out, missing the crack. Rewatching classics and learning new tricks. Being driven to the biggest game of your life by your mam. And then you finally come on in the 51st minute. It's the minor moments that last a lifetime. The Electric Ireland GAA Minor Championships. This is major.
Oh, come here. How are you getting on with your brown bin?
Sure, I don't know myself now. I hardly use my general waste bin since I started separating my food and garden waste.
Same. Did you know everyone with the waste collection service can get a brown bin now? No matter where they live.
Everyone?
Yeah, even you in the middle of nowhere. Visit mywaste.ie today to find out more, because you're never too remote to recycle. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
Dacia Today with Damien Tiernan on WLR.
With Airgrid, delivering a cleaner energy future. Dacia Today,
WLR. WLR's My Farming Week, a Dacia Today special on some of Ireland's best farms.
Thanks to IFAC, your local food and agribusiness accountants. See ifac.ie.
Well, welcome back here to Shane Whelan's farm in the beautiful picturesque Nar Valley. We're here this morning with Shane and indeed his Chagas advisor, Katrina Foley. Katrina, before the break, we mentioned about your Waterford Hill Sheep discussion group. Obviously, a good lot of numbers involved, as you say, across the whole Cumra Mountain Range.
Yeah, so the first farms would be over in Kilbrian side. You'd come over then and along the Nair, the farms involved that are overlooking Clonmel, and then up the Rathgormack side in towards Leamy Brian as well.
As we mentioned earlier, it's a special way of farming, and indeed the habitats that are here, the fauna, the flora, it's so special, and guys realising that more and more from an environmental point of view.
Yeah, the habitats, the flora and the fauna here is really special. You don't get these type of plants anywhere else. On the drive down here, I pointed out to you the bog cotton that was growing in a fenna flush, little white thing for anyone that sees it on the mountains.
A bog cotton.
Bog cotton, yeah. And back years and years ago, they used to pick that and try and stuff pillows and mattresses out of it, like, do you know?
And is that nearly... extinct at this stage?
It's not extinct, but it's rare enough. And I mean, generally you see that growing in kind of wet areas. The area we passed was a small fen flush, and you could see there was an awful lot of it condensed in one area. But you see it growing up the top of the mountain, up in the bog, up in the SAC, Special Area Conservation, up the tip top as well.
The Environment Innovation Award last year, you really dug deep into what's up there and making the guys awareness of that. That was a crucial part of your award-winning group last year.
Yeah, we had the EIP paid for an ecologist to walk the hills with the farmers. The ecologist was able to point out that, say, the different habitats where you say your bog started, your wet heat, your dry heat, where they merged, the upland grassland, and all the different types of plants then that you would see in it. Even one of the farmers passed comments that he had been walking over this for years and never realised what he was walking in. Because all these plants, a lot of them, they're teeny tiny because there is no energy, there is no protein up in the hill. Do you know, it's wet, acidic ground. Right. And they have learned to adapt to that environment, and they are really, really small. Blink and you miss them.
Mm. Shane mentioned about the Blackface Mountain. The breed here is up there, is so special. But I think it is Willie Drone promoting the Cumra Mountain Lamb, and now it's seen as a unique product nationwide. It's so important from a breeding point of view that this is all maintained.
Yeah, definitely. It's the Perth type Scotch here, I suppose, is the traditional breed, and there are other breeds around as well. I know some lads also use the Lanark. Swaledale is starting to creep in a bit. And the other thing that I suppose people don't realise as well, when you start changing breed type as well, you can mess up some of these habitats. So, for example, a swaledale as well will eat more barky tree vegetation, more so than the part of the lanark. So if you had, we'll say, forestry or maybe special area conservation woodland or something like that, you could change breed type and actually disadvantage a habitat. This kind of research is only starting to come out now.
And the various headers, you told me before we came on air about the several types of headers. To me, a header is a header, a purple header, but obviously I've a lot to learn when it comes to headers.
Yeah, so there's three different types of headers in the mountains out here. You've got the ling, the cross-leaved heath, and the bell heather as well. The bell heather is flowering now at the moment, and the ling and the cross-leaved heath would kind of flower from August to October. And especially coming out here in the autumn, you'd see the place is an absolute sea of pink. And even within the three heathers then, they live in slightly different habitats. The ling and the bell heather would kind of favour the kind of drier bog. The cross-leaved heath then would favour the really, really wet patches in the place.
And as regards from the farmer's point of view, adding in concentrates with that, getting that diet right, how difficult is that? Because you've a hill sheep and you're starting to feed concentrates from their constitution.
Well, the concentrates have to come into it because, as I said, there's very little protein and energy up in the hill. Some farmers take a nut up. Some use the traditional small nut. Others use a thing called a cob nut, which is a larger nut, and the sheep are able to kind of grab hold and it doesn't disappear into the sward. But again, by doing all that, you have to be very careful. You don't do it on wet ground. You don't damage any of the habitats. You rotate it around. Some farmers even try and feed on the roads and the laid-bys as well to limit damage. There is still a few people going up maybe with a bit of hay. There's very little silage being fed now, but there would have been before in the 90s. But I think people realise it's a lot of hard work to get that stuff up there, and then it's damaging. So people are trying to do their best to feed the sheep, keep the sheep right, and damage limitation.
As regards the various schemes, obviously the Rural Environment Protection Scheme, REPS and that, for the hill farmers getting involved, a lot of paperwork involved in getting involved in the schemes that are available for them.
Yeah, there was. Historically, the vast majority of the upland farmers would have been in the environmental schemes and they would have received good training during those schemes, but that training was only one day long. They'd only have that training maybe once every 5 to 7 years. I suppose the difference between our project and the training was it was 25 days the farmers had to train over a year and a half, so it was very condensed. And I mean, at the end of the day, like, we view the uplands, it's been all historically about sheep production, but we've got to look a bit further now. We've got to look at the ecosystem services. You've got water quality, flood protection as well. You've got carbon sequestration, biodiversity and the habitats and the public good and mental good from being out there. And we have to recognise these services as well. Like, if food production is going to fall in the mountains, there needs to be a payment for these services for the farmers to maintain them so that the mountains are still giving these services.
Shane, and really, that's the point of it. It has to be economical for you to survive.
Yeah, certainly does, which is getting harder every year, obviously. But then again, I suppose everyone can say that. But who knows what the future holds, I suppose. CAP is a big part, I suppose, for hill farmers. Like, without it, you know, it's hard to have the big numbers of lambs and obviously get the big weights. It's a lot harder in the mountain than it is in the lowland with the different types of breeds as well. That's about it.
There's a great community within the sheep fraternity. While we're here in the Nair Valley, the Rathgormack, Kilbrine, Kilross in the area, of course, all join in.
Oh yeah, there is. Yeah, when we're playing GA, maybe we've got time for a Rathgormack now around here, and the feeling will be mutual. I think if you asked any asses, but there is this good community in that way, and it's all in good spirits, everything. But we all help each other if we need it, obviously. Yeah.
Shane, you enjoy the way of life?
Yeah, I do. I love it. I'm not tied to office hours, I suppose, and I can come and go as I please for most of the year. And that's it's a good job. Yeah, I like it, I must say. Yeah.
And of course, having that discussion group meeting every month, it's so important. Katrina's group, passing ideas, gaining information, and indeed from a social point of view in the community, because it can be a lonely game.
Oh yes, very much, especially in mountain farming. Hill farming is very, very lonely. If you don't make an effort, you see no one, basically. Yeah. If you're living on your own or anything like that, or depending on where you're living. So the group is good that you meet people, not just farming ideas, but just for a general chit chat. It's very good.
Katrina, turning to you, the group here, there's such a community spirit within the sheep group. And anytime I was out to meet you over the last couple of years, there's something special about it.
Oh, look, it's a tight-knit community. I suppose they're at this with years. They're all at it with generations. One thing about the mountains is, as we've been colonised over the years and stuff, the mountains tend to be left alone because they were so poorly productive.
Right.
Do you know? So, like, you've people here generations.
As I say, the FPD Better Farming Award is to go into the Waterford Hill Sheep Discussion Group. Listen, congrats, well done. Thanks for having us out here this morning.
Michael.
And Katrina, the Chagask advisor, for all the insight into hill sheep farming. So that's about it from the Nar Valley. Back to you, Damien, in studio.
Listen back to today's show on WLORFM.com.
With fertile soils and temperate climate, Waterford has some of the best farms in Ireland. On My Farming Week, Monday, July 1st to Friday 5th, I'll be travelling the length and breadth of Waterford County to visit some of our most innovative and sustainable farms and producers. Apple, dairy, stud, beef and sheep, I'll talk to some of the leading personnel in these sectors. So join me, Kieran O'Connor, for My Farming Week, a Daisha Today special, Monday 1st to Friday 5th of July at 11:30 a.m.
My Farming Week, a Daisha Today special on WLOR. Thanks to IFAC Dungarvan, your local food and agribusiness accountants. See ifac.ie.
Are you looking to reduce